Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and now up on TSN 2. Brian Hazio, Doug, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan, our buddy Chris Johnston, our TSN hockey insider in about a half an hour. The Leafs are off to New York. They'll play the Rangers tomorrow night. And the Raptors, you know, they had themselves a night last night. And Nick Nurse, we've talked about his minutes and what he's willing to spend minutes on or who he's willing to spend minutes on. And last night they played seven players. And one of them was Champagne, and I believe he only played eight or nine. And the other six, including Chris Boucher, all played north of 34, 35 minutes.
Siakam
up over 40. Well, I think it's a message to his front office that we just don't have any depth.
Yeah,
you know, he's not playing Flynn. He's not playing Banton. He's not playing Mihailuk. He's not playing Yuta. Like, he's just looking at his bench, and it's a Scrabble face. And when you're in Miami against a really good team, you're going to go to the well with whoever you think is going to give you the best minutes. And at this point, it's Siakam and Van Vliet, 40-plus, and Scottie Barnes playing 38, 39. And, you know, Scottie had himself a night last night. That was basically a home game for him, returning back to Florida. And he had a bunch of family and friends in the stands, and I thought he played well. He looked good. But they're off to Dallas now, and eventually they'll return home. What it's going to mean for fans in the stands, we still don't have that answer, right? We don't know what's going to happen in Ontario. And I think it was supposed to be January 23rd, I believe. Like, this time next week, we're supposed to be, quote-unquote, out of this three-week blunt the virus
or whatever
stage, whatever the hell we're
it.
Doing now. So I guess we'll find out in the next week or two, maybe later this week. I saw some reports coming out that maybe later this week they'll have some announcements. What that's going to mean for the Leafs and Raptors is out of our hands at this point. We don't have that answer. But I guess the NHL is going to reveal their schedule soon and what they're going to be doing with that Olympic break.
Yeah.
And it sounds like it's going to be pretty busy for pretty much every team.
I'm excited. Obviously, it's going to affect my schedule just based on, you know, Ottawa having so many postponed games, but be interesting to see, because by the sounds of it, and you brought that up in the previous hour, Hayes, you know, teams are looking at three games and four nights and stuff like that. So it's gonna, you're gonna need to have your depth kind of firing on all cylinders too, because your backup goaltenders are gonna play. You know, not every night your big boys are going to be rolling. You're going to need contributions from everyone in the lineup. And health, knock on wood, is going to be a big part of that,
yeah,
too.
We talked about Mrazek and his salary. And I'll tell you what, if they're going to shove a bunch of games in there, he's going to be important.
He is. And the other thing, if you look at it, they announced the COVID protocols are going to be a little bit different, too.
The
which
testing,
I think will
yeah.
give some, yeah, will give some flexibility on rosters, right? You know, if a guy's asymptomatic and he's not being tested, then he's still playing. So, you know, that's the avenue the NHL has chosen to go down.
Right.
That's
which is where the
away.
NFL went. And I think that's where the NBA's going to go. And baseball, once they figure out the CBA, will go. And I think society is going to go here. And I saw, I think it was Frank who tweeted this out, Saravelli, that the NHL, in a memo, league-wide memo today, said 73% of the league has had COVID this year. And about 60% in the last 5 weeks.
Yeah, I saw that.
So
that big stat.
That's
like
a big stat. And that means a lot of guys have had it, right? And daily there continues to be more and more people going on it. I think the Habs had a couple more guys go on today. The Leafs had a few more go on earlier this week. So there's still going to be a more players that get it. But they're changing the rules. I think if the majority of your league have had it and are vaccinated, that's 100% reasonable.
Yep.
That's the way it should be. You know, you're still going to have to test to come in and out of this country. You're going to test, probably if you have symptoms, you're going to test.
Yep.
But if you're completely asymptomatic and vaccinated, which the league basically is as a whole, then keep going, keep playing. And that's what they're going to do. And the players are signing off on it too.
I agree. I had a little stress crossing the border just because that was my first time since testing positive. And what bothered me was the interpretation.
How was the transaction go, Jamie? Like, did they say, have you had COVID before? Like,
well,
how did it go down?
When you check in, you have to fill out a questionnaire, right? Like, in, you know, have you had COVID? Yes. And then have you quarantined? Like, and now, because a lot of times across the border, you need a PCR test, right? Well, I would test positive. So you just need the positive test that I had on December 17th. And then a doctor's recovery letter saying that I've, you know, done my quarantine and I'm non, you know, asymptomatic now. Like I'm through it.
You're through it. So you don't have to test or anything on either side of the border.
But I was stressed because I was flying, for example, I flew Air Canada down, United back. Down there, you know, St. Louis, it's kind of the Wild West. Like I'm checking in and the lady's like, you need a test. And yeah, it's like, it was weird, but I got on the plane, but it was a little bit stressful, put it that way.
Yeah. Okay. I need to get more details on that. Exactly. If everyone's traveling in the future, we want to know how this is all going to operate.
Yeah.
Our man David Faraday will be traveling. He's bringing the Faraday Classic up to Toronto. It'll be up here on June 7th. It'll be in Ottawa on June 6th, the day before, and tickets are available for that. Emmett Smith coming up, Terry Bradshaw coming up, Pat Perez. Daniel Alfredson will be in Ottawa. Cujo, Curtis Joseph will be here in Toronto.
Nice.
And, it's a great, great idea. The Faraday Classic is an intimate, entertaining afternoon and evening spent alongside the host, David Faraday, and four special guests per event. The day will consist of a nine-hole celebrity skins game to help raise $50,000 for local charities. And following the skins game is a 90-minute stage show filled with comedy and Q&As with David and his guests live from the range. So that would make me believe the guys, clearly they're going to be playing in the skins game, but they might have to hit the range and hit some shots. So if you're Faraday, do you want guys that are chops? Like, do you want some guy with an awful swing that can't play?
Well, if you want to make fun of it, yeah, but generally I think you'd want to see a couple good shots.
Well, let's bring him in here. He'll be up here again on June 7th. Here's David Faraday. As a host and the guys on the range, David, do you want them to be awful so you can goof on them, or do you want them to be quality?
Well, you know, I mean, I think I'd like them to be awful to start off with and then improve.
That makes sense. Yeah, because you got to have some – you want them to supply some material where you can just basically be like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, definitely. We see enough great golf.
Okay, good. Yeah, this is a cool idea, really cool idea.
David, your experience with hockey players, have you ever played – are you down in the Dallas area? Have you ever played with any hockey players that are good golfers?
Yeah, I mean, I played with Mike Modano, but it's been a long time since I played golf. I got run over in a bicycle truck accident. I came off a distant second in that one, and I haven't been able to play golf myself for about 16 years.
Wow. So how? I mean, obviously, you're a lifelong golfer. You were a pro, and now you cover the game, and you travel with the golf, you know, world and the PGA Tour, and you're so synonymous with the sport. I'm sure. Are you reasoning with that now? 16 years in, how do you reason with not being able to play?
Well, you know, I'm actually, it's funny you should mention it. I'm considering, my shoulder was so badly separated they couldn't put it back together. So my left arm is considerably longer than my right. But the pain has kind of dulled over the years. And Callaway just sent me a set of golf clubs, and I was thinking of going out and trying to see if I could get the ball in the air myself, which might be funny.
Okay. Well, that would, I mean, then the tables are turning. They put you on the range and let Curtis Joseph chirp your swing. That could be possible.
Yeah, really.
That might be an option. Yeah. I mean, you're known for bringing humor and self-deprecation to the broadcast of the sport, which I think has been incredibly beneficial for the sport because golf has got somewhat of a history. And we love golf. Owen and I play all the time. We love it. But it's got a history, at least, you know, from the outside world as being stuffy or stiff. How have you managed to mix, you know, comedy with golf?
Well, I mean, it's a pretty funny game. You know, most people don't take it that seriously, fortunately enough, you know, because it'll drive you out of your mind if you want to take golf seriously. It's just been something that's been a part of my life, you know, from a small child. You know, I've been a golf pro 47 years, and, you know, you see a lot of funny things in that space of time.
What about this Netflix docuseries that was announced recently, and a bunch of players seem to be jumping on board with it? Some are not interested in being involved or included, but I think the plan and the hope is that it'll have the same impact that the F1 series had with Netflix, which was huge specifically in North America. It gained a ton of traction over here. How valuable do you think that could be for the PGA Tour, but more specifically individual players, if they get to show their personalities a little bit more?
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be a very useful vehicle for some players, you know, those that aren't known so well or whatever. I mean, there's some pretty interesting stories of the kids that are out there, and I think the smart ones would probably take advantage of that series.
What do you think they have to put on that series, David? Like, which kind of guys behind the scenes do you think that people would really be fascinating seeing it? I know Bryson's come out and said that he doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to share his secrets. But I guess if he's not doing it, what do you think would be the most fascinating storylines to track?
Well, you know, I mean, Bryson could share his secrets and it wouldn't really matter because nobody understands him.
Right.
It's, you know, I'm not sure how that, you know, wouldn't work. But, you know, there's a lot of the youngsters out there, you know, I mean, they're half of them are going out with Miss Worlds. You know, the private level, it could be sort of a Kardashians thing. I don't know.
That could work. Yeah, that would probably sell, I think, for sure. I mean, golf being secondary almost is what you're suggesting, like the personal.
Yeah, exactly.
With David Faraday. He'll be up here. The Faraday Classic coming to Toronto June 7th at Glencairn Golf Club, and tickets will go on sale on Thursday at FaradayOffTour.com. Pre-sale tomorrow. Use the password Faratwit, Faratwit to get access to tickets before they go on sale on Thursday. Again, Emmett Smith will be up here, Terry Bradshaw, Pat Perez, Curtis Joseph. And when we've been talking about this, David, the idea of this Netflix special happening, Tiger Woods will not be involved, but that's likely going to be the biggest story of 2022. It'll probably take up about 95% of the coverage. If Tiger returns, let's say he shows up at TPC and then plays at the Masters, then he's at St. Andrews.
Yeah.
How do you have a docuseries, I guess, without Tiger being the primary focal point of it, even though he's not going to be directly involved?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, he is kind of the elephant in the refrigerator when it comes to that. I'll be interested, you know, to see. I mean, he might, you know, have some limited role in it. You know, he's kind of approaching that time in his life. You know, we saw a different side of him at the father-son, the PNC, there when he was out with Charlie. You know, I would like to think that he would take part, you know, in some small way.
Well, maybe he's thinking about the Player Impact program. I can't imagine that's on his radar, but it sounds like he's going to make some cash this year. Is this on your radar, David? Is this something you think is going to be beneficial for the PGA Tour?
You know, I think it would be if it's done nicely. And, you know, the one they did in Formula One was I thought was great. You know, so if they can, you know, turn in a product like that, yeah, I think it would do a lot of good.
So FaradayOffTour.com is where you can get tickets. David Faraday will be up here on June 7th at Glencairn Golf Club. Emmett Smith will be up. Terry Bradshaw, Pat Perez, Curtis Joseph will be involved. People will be clamoring to get tickets to get out. What can they expect once they're there on June 7th?
Well, it's limited to, you know, 1,500 people, so everyone will get a good view, you know, of the guys and, you know, be able to get real close. You know, I don't think there's going to be any spectator ropes or anything like that. You know, so it'll be a fairly intimate. We'll all be live mic'd, and there'll be a mobile PA system on golf carts with speakers, you know, going around. So everyone will be able to hear the interaction, you know, between the players. And I'll be providing commentary. None of it's cynical, of course.
Right.
You know, for the Nine Hole Skins game, and we'll raise a bunch of money for, you know, for local area charities.
That'll work for us up here in Toronto. Again, check it out, FaradayOffTour.com for tickets. They go on sale on Thursday. David will be up here in Toronto on June 7th. He'll be in Ottawa on June 6th. Tickets still available for that show. So enjoy yourself up here, David, and we'll do this again down the road. Thank you for this.
I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, boys.
There's David Faraday. You golf with Cujo? What kind of swing will Cujo bring to the table?
I haven't played with Cujo. I've played really? With basically you name it. Maybe I have that. I shouldn't say that if I don't remember it, but he's one guy I don't think I've teed it up with.
All right.
He seems like a guy, like Cujo for me, naturally talented. Like I feel like he would be a good golfer.
He'll be on display. You know, Pat Perez is a pro golfer, so Perez will be up. He's a big personality. I don't know. Emmett Smith is doing a lot. He's usually at the pro-ams, and I think he's a pretty good golfer. Terry
Dude,
Bradshaw,
you want to golf with, Hazy, that you'll see some things that will absolutely blow your mind, is Brian McCabe.
Like, why?
Just, you know, the outfits, the tight slacks, the he's got nice, like, big arms and shoulders, and he can't get the golf club above his kneecap in the backswing. Like, it is the – it's – He shoots 200. It's outrageous. It's crazy the stuff that he does to a
So what,
ball.
His shoulders don't allow for? Like he can't
I don't know.
Properly?
It's like you see him. All I know about the guys playing hockey with him, like good player, good plays, like,
right.
You know.
Athletic
Noodles
guy,
uses
yeah.
the word. Yeah, athletic, nimble, you guys have brought up yep. before. And this guy gets a golf club. He can't turn. He can't. He just can't make any
that's
kind of athletic move at the golf ball.
It's so disappointing that he lives in Florida and that's the case. You know, like you're wasting a Florida residence because
dude,
you don't
he could be a member golf. At Tiger's Course in Jupiter or Seminole or somewhere out there.
And it's not worth his time probably if he's chopping it around and shooting.
He would shoot 285 at Seminole.
Really?
Jeez.
It's well, there's
yeah,
weird
that's
stuff.
Good. That's disappointing. We love Caber, but you gotta bring more to the table than that. That's
for sure.
Be nice to get him on, but apparently we can't. Florida Panthers don't allow it anymore.
Well, maybe we'll get pissy with them.
We should get pissy with them. Let's pick a fight.
Let's get pissy with the Panthers.
Yeah, we'll get pissy with the Panthers.
Why are you so pissy?
Why are you so pissy?
I can't believe he threw out, why are you so pissy? And I've been thinking about it all afternoon. Matheson should have never asked the question if you could think of one particular thing. It's like when I sign up with a trainer and the trainer's looking at me and the trainer's like, if there's one kind of trouble area on your body you'd like to work on, it's my barrel, dumbass. It's my barrel. I got to lose the barrel.
Why are you so pissy?
Thank you.
Your trainer would respond with, why are you so pissy? Yeah, but you're right. Like, it's core. Yeah, the calf muscles. I want some traps.
Yeah, I want some calf muscles, pal. No, I got to lose barrel action.
So then what you're saying, it's everything. So Dreisaitl did answer it correctly then.
I mean, I guess technically if you're looking at a body upgrade, it's almost everything, like across the board, probably. Yeah. But I don't know.
The snideness back saying, well, you would know. You know, too, right?
Like, there's been some beauties over the year. Remember Voracek with the guy in Philly a couple of years ago?
That was on Zoom last year where he was
like, last year?
Oh, you're a negative and
he's
you're
like,
a piece
of garbage.
I can't
stand you. You're such a jerk.
And I hate your guts. And who is it?
Konechny
was like dying beside him. Like, oh, my God, is this guy for real? Like, he was looking at Voracek. There has been some interactions. We always joke with Feschuk about the Phil interaction.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's... That was a
that
pretty
was testy.
Heated conversation.
That was
but yep. there, you know what? In all fairness, too, because I've been thinking about it, was that over Zoom? Or was that in a. I think that was. Like
that was
the
Zoom.
Matheson Dreisaitl.
Yeah, it was Zoom, I believe.
All
yeah.
of it was Zoom.
But that's Voracek, hard, all of it. Too. Well, you're right. But I'm saying, like, the Feschuk Phil, that was face to face. And there was, you know, like, there is a relationship factor in here that we're not taking a peek at. At least, you know,
and you know what, Noodles? You know what I hope happens? I mean, we've had our 2 cents on it. Everybody's going to be weighing in. It's going to be on SportsCenter tonight.
Sure.
Like, there's a lot of garbage stuff going on in the world. Maybe these two guys can be grown men tomorrow and kind of just have a combo when it's over with. Like,
oh, I'm sure.
Everybody's got their opinion about it. We've all had ours. But, like, let's move on from it. Like, it's just there's bigger fish to fry out there. They had a kind of a little pissing match, literally. Let's move on. The adults can do that.
You can. The problem has been spaced out games. Like that, they've had so many.
No kidding.
Like they've had like 2 games in the last like 2 weeks. So, and of course they've been duds. No, I mean the Toronto game was they didn't have much, but they at least put an effort in. But like the other night was an embarrassment for them. They should feel the wrath. They should be pissed off. My understanding is they had battle drills at practice and, you know, trying to dig in. It's not getting easier. Florida's rolling in. Florida's the hottest team in the NHL right now. Like, if you're not scared to play them on Thursday, you're not engaged. Like, that Florida team is serious. We've talked about it. Like, they're, you know, Joe from the Bridge just threw it up. Top point percentage in the National Hockey
they're
League.
They're on fire. That's such a great year.
And they're... You know what they're doing is scoring goals,
that's
too.
What's scary is that the numbers they're putting on the board, they're putting 9 shares up on the board at times.
And like sevens and stuff
sevens
like that.
Sevens and eights
like
and nines. And, Huberto's chasing down an Art Ross. And they are going to come in there guns blazing.
Well, I haven't done the statistical stuff lately, but, you know, it was Dreisaitl and McDavid that were lapping the field with points. All of a sudden you've got
not five happening
or six,
anymore.
Five or six guys in the neighborhood. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's not.
Well, they've caught him, Noodles. Like, look at it.
Well, on goals, yeah, for sure.
But in points.
Oh, yeah, sorry, points.
Ovi's
yeah.
caught him, and Huberto's caught him.
Yeah.
Like, it's not. It's no longer the McDavid and Draisaitl show. Now, I think a lot of that would be games played, and like
right.
McDavid's played 34, Draisaitl's played 35, Ovi and Huberto have played 38 and 39. Stamkos is there, Kadri's there, well, Rantanen's Jason.
You know. There's how many guys on that list didn't make the All-Star team? Kadri, Rantanen, and Stamkos.
Yeah.
We're not on the All-Stars.
Not on the original one, yeah. Like, Kadri got in the votes. That,
yeah,
that was announced today. But, yeah, you're right. They were not and if you go a little bit further down, Marchand didn't get in either.
Yeah.
And Brad Marchand had some comments about Vincent Trocheck.
I kind of loved it.
I
that
loved
was
it, too.
Something else. Like, that's a troll job where it's a mic drop. Where he's like, you're going to compare you to me? Are you
now, apparently
me?
Marchand has deleted the Instagram post, but I guess someone, a media member, asked Vincent Trocheck how does he feel about being compared to Brad Marchand? Where I don't, who on earth is comparing Trocheck to Marchand? I don't know. Trocheck's a really good player, but Marchand's in a different world. And Trocheck responded with, are you calling me a rat? And Marchand grabbed that. Said, are you nuts? Like, basically, that's like comparing a Lamborghini to a
Prius.
Yeah, Prius. And, like, Trocheck is a good player. He's a really good player. But Brad Marchand deserves more respect than that. And Trocheck speaks to, I think, a conversation we have had in the past, though. The reputation of Marchand for many people is still he's just a weasel. Not a great player. He's a weasel. He's someone that does stupid things, and he chirps, and he licks people, and
that's all the stuff.
Yeah, yeah, that's his reputation. And I think Trocheck is basically admitting
it.
Yeah, he's a great player with some of that baggage. That's the way I view him. Like, can he be agitating and all that? Like, I think maybe somebody pointed to him. If you look at the stature, Trocheck's not a big guy, and he's an agitator. He'll get underneath your skin, he chirps and stuff like that. But if you're looking at just overall play, like, Trocheck is what, a 40-50 point guy.
Yeah, he's
Marchand's
a second
a
line
guy.
Yeah,
and he's a good center. Like, he's a good player. Like, I thought that was a sneaky good pickup by Florida a couple of years back. Now, Trocheck's had some injury issues, but Brad Marchand is a legit superstar.
Yes,
it's just what it is he plays the villain role as good as anybody. Him and Tom Wilson, I would say, who plays the villain role in the NHL as good as anybody? Brad Marchand.
I think he embraces it better than anyone. Like, he knows exactly what he brings, what he does. He does it so well.
Yeah.
And he backs it up.
Yeah. And so, then there's, you know, Tom Wilson. Like, Ryan Reeves enjoys the chirping and stuff, but he knows. Ryan Reeves knows his role. Like, those other, you know, the other two we're talking about, like, Tom Wilson is a top six. He plays on the top line.
Yeah.
In Washington. And Marchand's a star. Legitimately.
Yeah, no, it's Marchand is he's Sean Avery with more talent and skill in offensive production.
Right.
You know, and maybe not as crazy or wacky or off the beaten path like Avery was at times, especially by the end of his career. But
yeah
Marchand's a, you know, he's a 35 goal, 100 point guy, lock Team Canada player. Lock. That's
right.
How good he is. Chris Johnston, our TSN Hockey Insider, will join us. We'll get his take on the new GM in Montreal, the new testing protocols in the NHL, the schedule that's going to come out now that the Olympic break is available to them, and the Leafs are down in New York tomorrow playing the Rangers. We'll tee that up. Chris Johnston will join us next. All right, Chris Johnston will join us here in just a moment. CJ's a big Cowboy fan, so I'm sure that he was not having a very good time. He was
Dude, him
Troy
and
Aikman.
Him and Pierre must have been. They were probably with each other, and I just can't take them. I tell them all the time their team's junk, and I got Bowen and the goons sending me gifts of Aaron Rodgers doing his stupid hand thing. I just can't take it. I can't take it.
Well, you of all people need to take it because you have 15 different teams that you support. Now you're a Joe Burrow guy.
What are you talking about? I'm Tampa Bay Bucks, and I've said when Brady goes, I might jump on the bandwagon of the Bengals. Not a bad thing to do. What is so bad about
pathetic.
That?
Well, worse
find
than
a team
crime.
That is – yeah, but all you're doing is jumping from Brady to Burrow. Like
it's
know,
an
like,
option. I might go Kansas City.
Go
I don't
Mahomes.
Even know.
Exactly. That's better. Go with Mahomes. Go with Mahomes.
Go with the Bears or something like that.
That's what you should do.
Like, go with a team that needs help and needs your support.
Show that you're a ride or die. Go with the Lions. Go with Detroit.
There you go.
Stick to it. We can battle it out in the NFC North. If you have any
Lions
stones, you're a Lions fan. If you have any stones, if you're not pissy, you're a Lions fan.
Exactly.
Here's our TSN hockey insider, Chris Johnston. Were you crying with 4 or 5 minutes to go yesterday or the other day, CJ? What was that all about?
Man, I'm still in denial, honestly. I know I should know better. I know I shouldn't invest my mental energy into this team, but I really thought this year was going to be different. So, yeah, it's not a good Sunday around me, and I haven't really dealt with it yet since.
But, CJ, are you like Pierre where every time there's a loss, Pierre goes, I actually love them even more now. Like, are you in that same headspace?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm like two-plus decades deep at this point. Like, so, you know, there's nothing they can do that's going to break me more than I've already been broken over the years. But I'm probably not as emotional as Pierre. Like, Pierre, I don't know what I'm allowed to say here. I'm not sure how many people are listening. But, like, Pierre was, like, drunk texting me on Sunday night. Like, just I could tell he was just bombed, just, like, pouring a bowl out over the Cowboys. So, you know, he maybe gets a little bit more emotionally invested because he's been in it a little bit longer. But yeah, I'm not bailing on them now.
Well, does it give you an appreciation for Leaf fans covering the Leafs as closely as you do, considering you're going through it with the Cowboys? It's the same story, effectively. Does it change your perspective at all?
It does. I think it does connect me to what I know. You know, even I've got buddies, right, that are Leafs fans, of course, and you know, my dad's been a Leaf fan for a long, long time. You know, I understand what they've been through. And it probably feels the same because the frustration is the Cowboys do lure me in every year. Like that picture that O-Dog sent on Twitter was like painfully accurate because every season, you know, you start off a little skeptical and you think you're going to wait to see more. And this regular season, I really thought the Cowboys with their defense was built to have a long run. And I'm, you know, I imagine that's been the way Leaf fans have felt.
It's the same thing. It's the exact same thing. Yeah. Every year.
And,
it's the same.
The weird part is you kind of know how it's going to end. Like on Sunday, like I was texting some guys before the game and I was like, I just got a feeling there's going to be a dumb play or a referee thing or just something that ruins this. Like, and you know, I'm certainly not blaming the ref at the end of the, you know, that last play of the game, but it just felt inevitable that it was going to go wrong kind of the way I think. And I think a lot of Leaf fans feel that way too, even as great as their season's been this year again.
Yeah. Well, that's the truth. Yeah.
Well, the only thing you draw parallel to Cowboys and the Leafs, yeah, the records, but like how big of organizations they are, right? They are the faces of their franchise, like the faces
of the
league.
Leagues, yeah, biggest
of their
ratings,
leagues, right?
Biggest fans.
Yeah, like that's and loud, and you know the Cowboys fans are everywhere, Leafs fans are everywhere. So that's the parallel, and you hope the Leafs try and break through that. But I saw a lot of tweets the same thing on Sunday. People like, here we go again, and it's just the fan base gets tortured, but you hang in there. And
once
you
you're in
that,
that long,
through,
you,
right?
you yeah, there's no point in leaving now. You know, like the time to leave was a long time ago. Long time ago when John Kitna was taking snaps, you should have been thinking about it, but you're in now, so you might as well keep rolling. The Leafs are in New York tomorrow night. Jake Muzzin has been diagnosed with a concussion. He isn't on the flight, didn't make the trip. Justin Hall remains out. So that back end of the defensive rotation, I guess, will be tested tomorrow night, and we've talked about this before, CJ. That's probably where they're going to be looking to upgrade, and I think there'll be a battle for that third pairing. Let's say, hypothetically, the Leafs find a top four and they plug someone in there with Muzzin. I'm not convinced it's a lock that, you know, any combination of Sandin, Hall, Dermott, Liljegren are there for that third pairing. I think the four of them will more or less battle it out. I think Sandin certainly has the position, you know, is the pace car right now. But how do you see that playing out?
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, you certainly don't want to see Jake Muzzin get injured. He's had a tough season as it is, and the concussion, you know, that's not great circumstances. But you probably don't mind if you're the Leafs seeing these guys play under a bit more duress now. I mean, you have Sandin and Liljegren, it looks like, will be the second pairing for tomorrow's game, you know, in New York. And so you're maybe getting to see those guys in a different situation than typically they've been playing, certainly tougher minutes. You know, with both Sandin and Liljegren largely been third pairing defensemen this year in most of the games that when they've been deployed. I'm with you. I think it's wide open. You know, when they've been healthy, and it's been a little while now because they've had guys in and out of protocol and all that this stuff. But you know, when they were healthy, they were doing a rotation with Dermott, Sandin, and Liljegren. And so at that point, that was kind of telling, you know, assuming that if they make an acquisition at the trade deadline, that they're not trading a defenseman out. And I'm not convinced that's the case. I mean, maybe you see one of these guys moved as part of that deal, or maybe another deal that's sort of made in concert with it. But if it's just a pure ad situation, you know, I would give Sandin the five spot right now, and then we could probably have a debate about where they're at. You know, the good news if you're the Leafs is you got half a season still to figure it out. I mean, it's weird to be saying that in January or mid-January, but, you know, there's still a lot of games to be played. It's going to be a busy schedule once the league announces that new February schedule, and I'm sure they're going to need 8 or 9 or 10 defensemen between now and the end of the year to get through this thing.
What's your read on how the league feels about COVID factoring into the latter parts of the season? In other words, there's been so many guys who have got it. They're already changing the testing protocols. Do they feel like they're almost through the woods, and once they get through it and hit February, March, it's kind of like home free, or will they allow themselves to feel that comfortable?
They probably will never get fully comfortable, but there's certainly a lot of optimism now. I mean, you know, what the league told teams today in a memo is that 73% of the players have you know, got COVID this year. And, you know, what that means is they get 90-day what's called testing holidays where they don't have to be tested. Now, the league isn't going to test players that don't have symptoms except for when you're crossing a border and it's required by law. And so I think that there is, between all those factors coming together, you know, that kicks in after the All-Star game February 7th. You know, I think there is a great degree of optimism that we won't see the same kind of interruptions we've seen to the schedule in the first half. You know, I do think they basically got the finalized revamped schedule with all the postponements. There's 104 postponed games, you know, in the first half of the season. I think that's all been sort of settled. And, you know, I think that there is some hope here that they can get through the second half. You know, there might be a team or two that gets shut down, but without the sort of mass kind of shutdowns we saw in December and parts of January. And so, you know, now we just got to get some fans back in the Canadian buildings to go in concert with all that stuff. But, you know, I do think that the league feels it's sort of weathered the worst of the storm, and, you know, it should be a little smoother sailing in the second half of the season.
Hot topic in the last couple hours, obviously, was the exchange of Jim Matheson and Leon Draisaitl. What did you make of all of that? Have you been in that situation? You're a guy who's always been in the scrums. It's obviously a little bit different now over Zoom. You know, give us your opinion on the interaction, and then maybe tell if you've had, you know, a sharper interaction with somebody over your career.
I've definitely had the odd sharp interaction. You know, I'll tell you, it's far less common with sort of today's players than it was when I first started coming around 15 or 20 years ago. You know, that this is talking about even in the pre-COVID world, but the guys now, it just doesn't happen quite as frequently. You know, I think the issue I would take with what happened today is you got to, as a journalist, you know, look, it's our job to kind of poke around sensitive issues, ask occasionally difficult questions. I mean, that's kind of part of the gig. But I think where and how you ask them is important too. And, you know, it looked like they had a podium set up there in Edmonton. I'm not sure coming back with that pissy question in that circumstance is the right thing to do. As much as Matheson has been around for 100 years, he's been covering the NHL since before I was born, I believe. So I'm not telling him how to do his job. But I think that's where, you know, the player has a right to kind of snap back, because that might be something you can say in a one-on-one interaction. You know, I'm sure O's been through this, or you, Noodles, and at times where you maybe had an issue with a reporter or two. I mean, you can have a one-on-one conversation a certain way, but when things are done at the podium, I think you kind of have to be a little bit more by the book. And you know, given how sensitive things are in Edmonton, how much losing the team's done, you know, I wouldn't personally have gone down that road and you know, asked the guy why he was pissy in that situation.
CJ, it seemed like he was, like, it's so obvious the reason why Edmonton is losing. And it was almost like, and I could tell, I think I can read people. I can tell what's going on, especially in this circumstance. I consider myself an expert. But you could see Draisaitl, because he started to almost laugh to himself and shake his head, because he knew, he was like, what is the one reason that's ailing the Oilers? And everybody, if you have half a brain and you watch hockey, knows what the problem with the Oilers is. So he was basically trying to get him to say our goaltending stinks, which it does. But he's not going to do that to his teammates and the goaltenders on the team.
Right, and I think that's what he meant when he said, like, you know, I don't need to say it because you're going to say whatever you're going to say. I mean, he said something to that effect. You know, lots of people in our position on this side of the microphone have pointed out the Oilers have like 870 goaltending the last 14 or 16 games, whatever this stretch has been.
Right, so it begs the question, why would you even go there? You know the answer, and you're going to write whatever you're going to write anyway. Why are you trying to be – it's almost, I don't know. I thought it was really goofy from a guy that's been around a long time, as you mentioned.
Yeah, and look, it's like I wouldn't have done it at the end of the day. Like I it's probably my job to defend the journalist here, but I just wouldn't have gone that far down the road. I mean, I think you asked the first question, what's the one thing? Okay, you ask that and he doesn't bite. I'm not sure you keep going back to the well and poke him. You know, I do think on the flip side of this, from the player side though, I mean, look, nothing's gone right in Edmonton. I'm sure his teammates probably like that exchange. I mean, I'm sure they're tired of the media at this point in time. You know, maybe a little clap back like that might be something the Oilers can goof around with behind the scenes, might break the mood and, you know, help them feel a little better. So maybe this will all work out well, but, you know, in Leon's favor.
With Chris Johnston, our TSN hockey insider. So Kent Hughes is the man for the job in Montreal. He gets the GM job. He's a longtime agent in the league. He's from Montreal. He's bilingual. We're trying to get a read on what is possible in Montreal, because I think a scorched earth approach might be the way to go. But when you take a look at Cap Friendly and you realize how many players have long-standing deals, like Drouin, Anderson, Hoffman, Dvorak, Armia's locked in. On the back end, you got Petrie locked in. You've got David Savard locked in. You've got Gallagher locked in. Toffoli locked in. Edmondson locked in. Jake Allen's got this year and next. How reasonable is it to expect that they could pull that off even if they wanted to?
You didn't mention Carey Price either.
Yeah, Carey Price, sure, the biggest elephant in the room.
Probably a fascinating, you know, I'm not sure that they'll dig into it tomorrow at the press conference, but probably going to be the most interesting situation to watch in Montreal, just how that unfolds. You know, I think that, look, you got a GM now that's signed a five-year contract. You know, Jeff Gorton got a long-term deal, I would assume probably in the same range. I would be surprised if they don't go at least semi-scorched earth. You know, it's one thing Mark Bergevin has sort of refused to do. And, you know, we could debate whether it worked out or not. You know, they were in a conference final in 2014 near the time when he started. You know, they ended up making kind of a miracle run last year to the Stanley Cup final 7 years after that. And you know, but the Habs refused to kind of go the way the Leafs did when Brendan Shanahan took over, or we've seen other teams do. You know, I think there's some risk in it, obviously, because they've made it harder to win the draft lottery with the way the ratios work and all that stuff. Although, you know, Montreal is in a great spot at 32nd overall right now to at least have a shot at the number one pick in the upcoming draft. And so I think with totally new people coming in with long-term contracts, I'd be surprised if we didn't see something close to they might not call it a full-on rebuild, but, you know, I think that they'll probably go that route. I mean, it's the natural thing to do if you're just getting there. I don't know that there's – look, it's a pretty veteran team. I know they've been just smoked by injuries and COVID situations this year, and that's played a role in how few games they've won, not to mention, you know, Price and Shea Weber and all that stuff that's happened. But, you know, I would think that they're going to burn what they can to the ground and see where they're at, because it is an older team. I don't see them being one or two moves away from contending. And if you have that runway with your contract, I mean, why not use it and try to do something that might take a couple seasons to execute?
Yeah, that seems reasonable. And you're already there anyway right now because of how bad the season's gone. You know, it'd be one thing if they took over halfway through last season, then the team goes to a cup final and you're like, how are we supposed to explain what we really want to do here? But adjustments have happened on the fly. I would use Masai Ujiri and the Raptors as an example. When Masai got here, he wanted to trade Lowry, trade DeMar, scorched earth, be awful, and chase Andrew Wiggins 2 or 3 years down the road. And then adjustments were made. You know, that may be what ends up happening if you can't unload everyone you want to. And then next year you have a much better season. Plans could change, and it's probably going to be Carey Price that makes that determination. Right, like if he's on your team next year and playing, and what if he has a really good season? You're gonna win games. You're gonna be a decent team. I don't think you'll be a great team, but you'll be a decent team with a very good Carey Price.
It's true, and just what you mentioned too. Like, it's just clicking for me. I mean, even if they want to trade everyone, obviously they're not going to be able to. I mean, they have all those deals you mentioned. You know, they might fall into a different plan along the way. You know, I'm not convinced though that Carey Price will stay in Montreal. I mean, it's so premature to say, and you know, he's basically restarting his knee rehab now, so I don't know if he'll be healthy to play this season. But you know, that's the one I could see there being I could see that being a trade that they're able to pull off. I think if they're eating salary on that player, you know, I do think that there are teams around the league, even given his what's gone on here the last 7 or 8 months for him, that will make that trade, even with the time remaining on his contract. I'm sure some of these other guys can be moved. I think at minimum they're shipping out some salary, not to be a cap team right away. I mean, right now they're pretty capped out, and they're obviously just going to try to have more, you know, futures enter the organization to play with, you know, Cole Caulfield and Nick Suzuki and some of the younger guys that they're hoping lead the next wave.
We'll see what happens. It'll be an interesting one tomorrow in Montreal, that's for sure. And the Leafs in action tomorrow. The Oilers back in action with Florida in town on Thursday. So we look forward to all the Canadian content coming up. And we always appreciate you finding time for us. Thank you, Chris.
Be well, guys. See you soon.
There's Chris Johnston, our TSN hockey insider. Still a little bit depressed with what happened to his Cowboys.
Yeah, you can hear it in his voice, eh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A little bit upset.
But I understand where he's coming from. I speak from my own experience. They keep breaking your heart. It keeps getting even more difficult to accept and understand. But then you regroup and you say, well, I'm not going anywhere now. You know, what am I going to do now? Would I become a fan of another team? Because if the payoff finally happens, it'll be greater than any possible payoff. Talk to a Cubs fan. If you're a lifelong Cubs fan.
Oh, God.
They finally won. Like, imagine you were 63 years old and how awful it had been for 62 years. And then finally they make the playoffs, get to the World Series and win. How great that feeling would have been. Just incredible. And that's what you got to hope for if you're in Toronto with the Maple. Now, the Cowboys won Super Bowls in the 90s. Like, Pierre was a fan in the 90s. He's felt what it's like.
He's
to have
been
a
to
team
the
win.
Top of the mountain.
He's
yeah,
been
he
to
has.
The top of the mountain. Leaf fans, there aren't many Leaf fans that can remember vividly 1967. Not many.
Right.
So Leafs are in a different spot. And like someone sent the screen grab because it comes up all the time. I think ESPN posted it last night. Longest droughts without a championship. And the Cardinals, I think, are leading that charge. And, of course, the Leafs come up. Right? The Leafs represent the NHL, the longest standing drought in NHL history, or in NHL, you know, current history, is the Maple Leafs since 67. So until they change that, they're going to continue to be the team that gets posted online and goes up on the screen whenever we talk about ineptitude and losing.
Mm-hmm.
They can change it. It's their destiny. There it is. Thank
Sacramento.
You, Joe from the Bridge. Guardians. Yeah, the Cardinals, the Guardians. Oh, yeah, that's Cleveland's baseball team. You got to forgot about the
Guardians.
That. It's the Guardians now and the Sacramento Kings. So, listen, the Leafs compared to those three teams, the Kings, the Guardians, and the Cardinals, they actually look like legit. That's 47, 48, and 51. So the Leafs aren't that bad. Anyway, we'll come back and wrap up the show. Look ahead to tomorrow's show as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, so it's been established tomorrow I will battle with Al's brother. We're going to have a list each. I think you determined you want the best pro athletes going today.
Any sport, 10 best.
I love it.
Okay. Yeah, 10. 10's a long list, man. That's going to lead to some variety.
How about we turn back the clock and we make it a 7-pack? You like 5, I like 10, we go 7.
Perfect. Sure. Noodles, you good with that?
I'm going to have a rose, and I'll just hand it out to either you or Al's brother, whose list I like better, and I like why.
It. I like it. Yeah, you know he's going to have some information. This is where I'm going to struggle, because he's going to have so much information that sounds tremendous.
But, dude, how much is useful?
That's the point.
You
That's
know me. Point. I see through that nonsense.
And I guarantee one thing what that guy will do tomorrow. He'll have an omission that is so ridiculous, it's almost like his whole list should be scrapped.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an asterisk. Yeah. Like, it leads to an asterisk beside the list because you couldn't possibly miss out on that one person that will not be on his list. And remember after I said, I'm going back to the well with the Rams, all that tremendous information he had yesterday? Of why the Cardinals are the pick and on the road and up against the zone and they do this, that. And it was completely garbage. It was horrendous information in the end. So, it's manipulated stats. It's manipulated details. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to battling with Al's brothers. So we'll go back into the trenches. And before you know it, we're going to be looking back at the board for the divisional round. And I got to be honest, man, I love these games. You got Packers, Niners, Rams, Bucks,
man.
Chiefs, Bills,
I'll
Titans,
tell you
Bengals.
What, and this is for you and Bonesy and the Goons. There's an outside chance because you saw those 49ers manhandle the Pack in person.
Yes, I did.
You never know if that could happen again.
That's what scares me is, now this one's at Lambeau. It's not going to be in San Francisco, but that was about 2 years ago today, you know, like right around 2 years ago.
Yeah.
That I was in San Francisco in the Bay Area to watch that game, and that was as bad of a loss as the Packers have been handed out. Worse than the week one against New Orleans this year, because it was the playoff game. It was the NFC Championship game. Yeah, it mattered, and it was awful. It was terrible. That was 2 years ago. Crazy. Right. 2 years ago. We're just flying to San Fran for the weekend and back. Not a care in the world. Just go check out the Packers. Grab an In-N-Out burger and see you later. And now, very different world, clearly. This is the one you want to get to, though, if you're a Packer fan, because it's at Lambeau. So we'll do that tomorrow with Al's brother. We'll get to our picks later in the week. The Leafs will be in action tomorrow night. The Raptors, there's a lot going on. So we are out of here. It's been a fun one today. Thank you to everyone for tuning in, everyone for putting in work behind the scenes, as always. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games. We're back tomorrow at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.